Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 16, Chapter entitled The Description of Jambudweep, Text Number 2. Tatrapi Priyavratarata Charana Parikatai Saptabi Sapta Sindava Upaklipta Yata Etasya Sapta Dvipa Vishesha Vikalpas Twaya Bhagavan Kalu Suchita Etad Eva Kilam Aham Manato Lakshanatash Chasavam Vigya. Sorry. Vijigyasami. We'll just read the word for word. Tatra api. In that Bhumandala. Priyavrata rata charana. Parikatai. By the ditches made by the wheels of the chariot used by Priyavrata. Maharaj, while circumambulating Sumeru, behind the sun. Saptabi, by the seven. Sapta, seven. Sindhava, oceans. Upaklipta, created. Yata, because of which, Etasya, of this Bhumandala, Saptadweep, of the seven islands, Vishesha Vikalpa, the mode of the construction, Twaya, by you, Bhagavan, O great saint, Kalu, indeed, Suchita, described, Etat, this, Eva, certainly, Akilam, whole subject, Aham, I, Manata, from the point of view of measurement. Lakshanata, and from symptoms. Cha, also. Savam, everything. Vijigyasami, wish to know. Translation and purports by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, the rolling wheels of Maharaj Priyavrata's chariot created seven ditches, in which the seven oceans came into existence. Because of these seven oceans, Bhumandala is divided into seven islands. You have given a great description of their measurement, names, and characteristics. Now I wish to know of them in detail. Kindly fulfill my desire. Text number four. Three. Bhagavato gunamaye stula rupa aveshitam mano yagune pi Sukshma Tama Atma Jyotishi Pare Brahmani Bhagavati Vasudevakye Kshamam Aveshitum Tad U Hai Tad Gurur Hasyanu Vanayitum Iti. Translation. When the mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his external feature, made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who, in his subtler form of self-effulgent, is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. O my Lord, please describe vividly how that form, which covers the entire universe, is perceived. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit had already been advised by his spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami, to think of the universal form of the Lord. And therefore, following the advice of his spiritual master, he continuously thought of that form. The universal form is certainly material, but because everything is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ultimately nothing is material. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaja's mind was saturated with spiritual consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, everything, even that which is material, is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Bhakti Sananda Sarasvati Thakur translates this verse as follows. Hari Sevaya Yaha Haya Anukula Vishaya Baliya Tahara Tyage Hayabula. One should not give up anything connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking it material or enjoyable for the material senses. Even the senses, when purified, are spiritual. When Maharaj Parikshit was thinking of the universal form of the Lord, his mind was certainly situated on the transcendental platform. Therefore, although he might not have had any reason to be concerned with detailed information of the universe, he was thinking of it in relationship with the Supreme Lord, and therefore such geographical knowledge was not material but transcendental. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20, Narad Muni has said, Idam hi Vishwam Bhagavan Ivetara. The entire universe is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it appears different from him. Therefore, although Parikshit Maharaj had no need of for geographical knowledge of this universe, the knowledge was also spiritual and transcendental because he was thinking of the entire universe as an expansion of the energy of the Lord. In our preaching work also, we deal with so much property and money and so many books bought and sold. But because these dealings all pertain to the Krishna conscious movement, they should never be considered material. That one is absorbed in thoughts of such management does not mean that he is outside of Krishna consciousness. If one rigidly observes the regulative principles of chanting 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day, his dealings with the material world for the sake of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement are not different from the spiritual cultivation of Krishna consciousness.
Just need to drink some water, just rehydrating after this Nirjala Kodasi. No water for over 24 hours. Great tapasya, great austerity. So much tapasya, austerity. Just bring me one 10-litre bucket, I will drink it all. No, joke. Omagyan, Timadandasya, Ginanjana, Shalakaya, Chakshuran Lalitam Jena, Tasmai Shri Gurave, Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitam Jena, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Swa, Patantikam. Vancha kaupat rubyascha kripa sindhu bi evacha petitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Welcome, Brahmacharis. Good to see you. Hare Krishna. Very nice. Feel purified in the association of the saffron cloth of the Brahmachari ashram. So good. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. Any questions or comments? Okay, so we will begin. So, this is describing Jambudweep. This is one of the islands in the universe. Now, devotees often get confused about the structure of the universe based on these descriptions, because it describes the different bodies of land in the universe as islands. And there are oceans in between. It says Maharaj Priyavrata, he was riding his chariot, and the wheels of the chariot have formed these oceans, seven oceans. So it spreads out like an island, and there are different oceans, and then that separates the various islands. So devotees get confused about the structure of the universe, which is, it's not so strange, because when you read the description, it is a little confusing. Because we think, oh, how does it all manifest? And now, in this world, on the planet Earth right now, there is a big movement of people who believe the Earth is flat, which is what people believed maybe 500 years ago. At the time of Christopher Columbus, you know Christopher Columbus? He was sailing from Europe to America. That was only, how long ago? It was 500 years ago, I think. Anyone know the date, Christopher Columbus? 14. 92, yeah, so a bit over 500 years ago. Yes, I say 600 years ago. So that's only 500 or 600 years ago in Europe. The common consensus was the Earth was flat. So people were saying to him, be careful, because you will sail, and then you'll go over the edge. Now, people actually believed like that. You had to be careful, you know, because you go too far, you will drop over the edge. So this conception the Earth was flat was only 500 or 600 years ago. In Europe, at least, it was the common conception. And now, it has arisen again. There are many people that say the Earth is flat. They argue it very strongly. You know? And many devotees believe this too, that the Earth is flat. So, now we have to understand it in its proper perspective. The Earth is not flat, it's a ball. Right? Even though here it says there's like islands, and there's oceans and like this, but you have to understand the cosmology of the universe carefully. That's why we need to study Prabhupada's books very carefully. And then when you study the books, it can be confusing, because it sounds like there are contradictory descriptions, which are there. So it can be confusing. And even many devotees, they believe the Earth is flat, and they give this description. So, when we taught the Bhakti Vaibhav course, we went through the fifth canto, as you do when you study it. Prabhupada said you have to study his books categorically, from canto 1 to canto 9. Right? And he says by the end of canto 9, you will be? Yeah, God-realized soul. So I've done that. I've studied canto 1 to canto 9 very carefully. And still I have not realized God fully. So Prabhupada said, you have to read three times. Study everything three times. So even if I go through it three times, I don't think I'll still be fully God-realized. You know, it's not easy to do it. But that's the system we're supposed to go through categorically. So when we went to Canto 5, we studied it very carefully because, I was facilitating the Bhaktivaibhava course, I'm teaching the devotees. So I'm only going to go through the Bhagavatam as deeply as we did in the study, probably once in my life. I'm probably not going to go back and study the whole thing that deeply again. You know, one time. So if you're going through it once very, very deeply, you have to make sure you go through it as carefully as you can. So when I got to the fifth canto, we went into the cosmology, into the creation of the universe, very, very deeply. And even then, I don't think we fully understood everything and fully covered everything. Because these things are vast. These things are very elevated. And they're beyond our conception. You know, you look at the universe at nighttime. You know, and how do we understand all of that? The scientists speculate on it every day. Every day they tell us, oh, it's like this, it's like that. You know, there are black holes and there are all these different things. And, you know, so even they don't really understand it, right? They speculate, oh, it's like this, it's like that. But how do they really understand? So when we did go through, the basic understanding which we got is that there are 14 planetary systems. So this is important to understand when we're understanding the cosmology. And Mahavishnu is outside of the universe. So we read that from the Bhagavatam, second canto, third canto. Right? So when he breathes, universes come out of his pores. And we are inside one of those universes. And actually, we, this group of us sitting here now, we're inside the last universe to come out. It's the smallest universe because Brahma only has four heads. And when you read the 10th canto, it describes when the other Brahmas came to Dwarka, everyone had more heads than that one. So it's described, this is the smallest universe, the last one to come out. The other universes which come out, they go out further than us, they come back. We just came out at the end very quickly, and then we go back in. And it's a small universe, it's not a big thing. You know, we think we're very important. Yeah. We are from Delhi. Or Chennai. Don't know about Chennai Maharaj, Tiki Jai, don't know. Or Melbourne, or wherever we're from. We think it's very important. It's not important. One time, Tamal Krishnamurti was with the Prabhupada, 1968, 69, very early in the movement. And Prabhupada was explaining the cosmology. He said, there is the universe. And then within the universe, there's one planet, small planet, called Earth. On that planet, there is one country called America. In America, there is one city called Los Angeles. Los Angeles is one street called Watsika Avenue. And then in Watsika Avenue, there's one little church, which the devotees brought and they turned it into a temple. Right? And in that temple, there's one temple commander, and he thinks he is so important. Prabhupada was like bringing into perspective. We think we're so important. In the cosmology of the universe, we're nothing. You know, we don't even come up. If Lord Brahma was looking at us now, you know, by the time he looks down, we're probably gone. Right? Insignificant. So, this is the cosmology of the universe. So, Mahavishnu, we come out of his pores, then he expands into each universe as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He enters the universe. The universe is shaped like an egg, that shape, like an oval shape. Right? So he goes in, he lies down, and it's like being in a sauna. So when you're in the sauna, you perspire. So he perspires, that fills up half the universe, that's called the Garbhadak Ocean. And he lies down on that ocean, on Anantasesh. So at the bottom of our ocean, half the universe is filled with water, perspiration from the Lord. So then, from his navel comes a lotus flower, which has a long stem like this. Goes up, and then the lotus flower. And then Lord Brahma, Swayambhu. What does Swayambhu mean? Self-born. Self-born. So he just appears, Brahma appears. Right? First person in the universe. Sitting on that lotus flower. This is in the second canto. Right? And he's confused because everything is dark. Just like there's a lotus here. So you just appear on that lotus, all the lights are off, and then you're like, where am I? What is this? So he actually goes down the lotus stem, can't find the bottom, comes back up, sits, and then while he's sitting, the waves at the bottom of the lotus stem, they're touching the lotus, they say, tapa, 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 do austerity. So then he goes into that austerity, and then he begins to realize things. The Lord begins to hridaya within his heart, they begin to, things become manifest, and he understands. So, that lotus stem, which goes up, that is the 14 planetary systems. They surround that lotus stem going up. Now, that lotus stem, which goes up, that is called the Milky Way. You know, at night time, do you see it? Hard to see, maybe, but when you come to the farm, you can see it more clearly. Milky Way usually comes from the south. I'm just trying to... So south, the back there, usually you'll see it in the night sky. It kind of goes like that and then goes up, kind of upwards into the north, like that. So that is the Milky Way, that is the lotus stem, and that is the 14 planetary system within that and surrounding that. So there are these 14 planetary systems. So when we're talking about islands, like we're talking about Jambudvipa and all these different islands, there's basically three divisions. There's Bu, Buva, Swa, or actually the other way, Swa, Bu, Buva. So these are the three areas of the planetary systems. There's the middle planetary systems, the upper and the lower. Right? So as you go through, if you look at the planetary systems like that, the 14, it's like 14 levels when you're in a building. You go in the elevator. So it's like first floor or second floor. So all the planets are within those different planetaries. That's why we say it's flat. That's where the description's coming from. This is where people become confused. Because they think, oh, it says in the Bhagavad Gita it's flat, they're islands. Yes, it is islands. When you look at it like that, that's like an island. But the planets are round, they're balls. Right? We accept that. Now, what happens now in this day and age, people say the earth is flat. But they don't say the sun is flat. They don't say the moon is flat. So why is it that the earth is flat and all the other planets are round? They're balls. It doesn't make sense. Because by the law of gravity and everything, everything should be round. You know, if we're spinning around the sun, if we take a heliocentric vision of the universe, Einstein said, if we take a geocentric version of the universe, or vision of the universe, or heliocentric, it doesn't matter. Mathematically, everything is the same. So whether the sun is the center and everything's going around the sun, as modern science says, or the earth is center, as the Bhagavad Gita says, and everything's going around the earth, everything still calculates the same. Right? So we have the earth there, and then if everything is spinning, or if you take it the other way, then, well, if you did say the earth was, then it could be flat, possibly, because it's not moving. So yeah, they could argue like that. Everyone becomes, this is the thing, it becomes very confusing. So what's the final conclusion? The final conclusion is chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Because you can't understand all this anyway. Right? I studied it very carefully. When we went through the fifth canto many years ago, I studied it very carefully because I wanted to understand it. But at the end, you can't understand it all. But we should have this basic understanding. The earth is a ball. It's not flat. It is confusing because the Bhagavad Gita says islands and all these things, so it does become a little confusing. So we can understand why people are confused, but we should understand it in its correct perspective. These are planets. The planets are in systems. They're all moving. And then it describes, like, the moon is there, the sun is there, like this, and different, how do you call it? My brain is... From the fasting, it's not working full speed. Different, radius or like measurements between the sun and the moon. And when you read those things, yeah, it does confuse people. Right? Because it says the sun is closer than the moon. The sun is not closer than the moon. No, the moon is closer, but the Bhagavad Gita says the other way. So that comes down to these, what do you call it? Like planes, yeah, like that. It means when it says the sun is closer than the moon, it means it's on this one, which is closer to the earth. And the moon is on that one, which is further from the earth. But the moon itself is closer to the earth. But it's on this plane, which is further from the earth. Does it make sense? Huh? It does make sense. You want me to start again? Okay. Everyone following? Basically, you understand that? So that's why it becomes confusing, right? Because you have these things which are being said, which are not incorrect, but then you have to take all the different perspective. Huh? It makes sense? Yeah, so it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. Yeah, because we're dealing with two things. We're dealing with planes which go like that, right, which go vertically, and then we're dealing with planets which are spinning like that horizontally. Right, so everything's going like that, but then there are different layers, like on the cake or something. So that's why people come and look at you. So when you study it, it becomes reconcilable, right? Because, you know, we should understand how the cosmology works to a great degree. And in the Prabhupada, in the last couple of years, the Prabhupada was with us, there were two things that Prabhupada really pushed a lot. What were the two things that Prabhupada pushed a lot?
Vanashram.
Yeah, Vanashram, very good. Yeah, he kept talking about it. Farm communities, make the farm communities work. And around ISKCON, how many of our farm communities are really self-sufficient and really working? Not many. We have like maybe 65 farms in ISKCON. Maybe five of them maybe are like quite, you know, self-sufficient and really advanced in their as Prabhupada envisioned they should be. So he would speak about this in the final days, right? And on that last tour he was going to take in 77 when he went across to London, to Bhaktivedanta Banner, and then he came back. That final tour was only to the farms. He said, I've done everything else, now just the farms, right? So Vanashram, he was talking. And then the other thing was... Yeah, it was the Vedic Planetarium or the Bhaktivedanta Institute, the scientific division. He said, we have to defeat the scientists. Right? And he would speak about this all the time. Hari Soriprabhu said, there wasn't a day that went by in those last couple of years. Prabhupada did not speak. Oh, the scientists, he would attack them every day. Right? And Mayavadis, every day Prabhupada would say something. And every day he would attack Mayavadis. Because this philosophy, Mayavad philosophy, is very... prevalent on the earth, and it's actually a great obstruction to spreading Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada would just hammer, and his pranam mantra, Prabhupada wrote that pranam mantra himself, Nirvisesh Shunyavadi. Right? My mission is to counteract these two philosophies, Buddhism and Mayavad philosophy and personalism. So these are the two things that Prabhupada really focused on. So he wanted, especially in those final last couple of years, Prabhupada wanted this Vedic planetarium in Mayapur to be built so that we can understand the cosmology nicely. You can go in there and you can actually see how it all works. So that is being developed now. And it should open in the next 10 years or so. Yeah, so that we have a nice understanding of how the universe. And even when that's there, still we probably won't understand everything perfectly. No, but we should have a basic idea. So does everyone understand it, basically? Okay, what you need to take away from the class or from your study of the Bhagavad Gita, the earth is not flat. You need to understand this, because many people, the Bhagavad Gita even sounds like that, right? But the earth is not flat, it's a ball, even though there's people watching who probably disagree. They may disagree. There's even devotees I've met, they're very adamant, no, it is flat, you know, like that. It's not flat, right? It's a ball, so understand it properly. So the earth is not flat, and these islands are planetary systems. So we need to understand these things properly. And all the planets are orbiting as we go through that layer of the universe. So we should understand these things properly. So then we go to verse 3, and it explains that... the universe can be seen in terms of the universal form. Right? This is spoken of in Canto 2, right? The universal form. Right? There's a description of the Vishwarupa. Right? This is not actually, it's not actually there. It's like a superimposed form. But for some people, That's a good place to start to understand that God is a person. That's why in the Bhagavatam, if you go back to 2nd Canto, it says, like the trees are the hairs of the body, the ocean is in the navel of the Lord. So you can meditate like that, and you start to get an idea of the personality of Godhead behind it. But it's not that the Lord has actually taken that form, right? In one sense. In another sense, it is His, because it's His energy, so He is there. But it's a way of meditating. But it's considered to be one of the lowest realizations of the personal philosophy. It's not an advanced realization. And Prabhupada points this out. How can you make a garland for the universal form? Right? If you've got everyone in ISKCON making a garland, right, stealing all the flowers, right? There's many pastimes of devotees stealing the flowers in the 1970s. We don't do it now. Now we go to the market and we buy it. We weren't so popular when we first moved into this temple. You have to understand that. You know, the neighbours, you know all the neighbours here? Yeah, they used to wake up in the morning and all their flowers are gone. Huh? We weren't so popular in the beginning. You know the story of that Rathiyatra we had in Melbourne, the first big Rathiyatra? You know that story? Where the devotees jumped the fence, went into the greenhouses and stole all the flowers? You know, heard that story? Yeah, the devotees jumped in the middle of the night because they needed flowers for the Rathiyatra carts. They didn't have enough money. They jumped the fence, went in, and plucked all the carnations from the hothouses. So the man got up in the morning, walked in, and all the flowers were gone. Imagine that. You walk in, like three hothouses full of flowers, big hothouses, you know, and all the flowers are gone. And he thought, who would do this? Who's going to steal all the flowers? So he told the police, he rang the police. And he said, you know, someone took all the flowers. So police thought, who would do that? So they looked in the newspaper. In the newspaper it said, tomorrow, Rathiyatra festival, everyone come. And they thought, oh, okay, maybe this is it. So next day, Rathiyatra was beginning. And the police went with the man to the carts of Jagannath Balaram Subhadra and covered with carnations. Right? And then they said to the man, are these your flowers? He said, yeah, they're my flowers. So the policeman got up on the cart. He said to the devotees, okay, we're stopping this parade. This is like 1 hour before the parade is beginning. He said, we're going to arrest someone for stealing all these flowers. Who did it? So one devotee was there. He said, I did it. He didn't even do it, but he said, I did it, because he just wanted the police said, okay, now you have to come to the police station. So he went, and then the Rathiyatra continued. So the man took us to court for stealing all the flowers. And we still don't know how, but by Krishna's arrangement, he lost the court case. And he had to pay all of our expenses for taking us to court. And we still don't know how that happened. And then they told Prabhupada the story, and Prabhupada was laughing. Prabhupada said, not that we should... Okay, Prabhupada laughed, and you know, because Prabhupada saw the humour in it, that you know we took all the flowers, we gave them to Krishna. You know, but... We shouldn't, doesn't mean, okay, oh, Prabhupada was like, no, let's go and steal flowers and we can do all this. We can't do that like that. But Prabhupada was saying, because they took everything for Krishna and they gave it to Krishna, which is what the man actually should have done. He should have said, oh, this is my greatest honour. You've stolen my flowers. You know, maybe you should have just asked for them, but, you know, you're giving them to Krishna. That's the point. So that's what he should have said, but he didn't say that. And then somehow there was some transcendental arrangement. But we should not steal. It actually says in the scriptures that if you do steal and you give it to Krishna, you don't get any reaction, but you don't make any advancement. Right? It says that in the Shastra somewhere that one of my godbrothers was telling me. There's a statement like that. You don't get any reaction because you gave it all to Krishna, but you don't make any advancement either. So don't think I can just go and steal for Krishna, make it like a habit. I'm Krishna's thief. This is my service, my seva. I will steal everything and give it to Krishna. Like that. Don't think like that. Here Prabhupada is saying that we should give everything to Krishna. That's what the universal form is for. And it is also mentioned that when one is in sattva-gun and ultimately comes to the platform of Vishuddha Sattva, then one can realize Krishna, right, in his personal form. It requires purification in order to see, understand Krishna's form. Many people in Kali Yuga can't even understand that God has a form. Just like, you know, we're preaching on the weekend, we have some people come to learn about Krishna. We ran a retreat, Western people came, 15 Western people came, and we're teaching them about Krishna consciousness. But some people, they cannot even understand yet that God has a form. They think everything's just energy or light. It takes time for people to understand these things. So in the Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says in the beginning, the purpose of this book is to bring you from tamagun to rajagun to sattvagun. Now, very interesting, Prabhupada says that. It's a bhakti shastra, but Prabhupada says you have to come up through the different levels, the different modes of nature. Kapiladeva speaks about this in the third canto very deeply. Devotional service can be practiced in tamagun. You can do devotional service in tamagun. You can do it in rajagun and you can do it in sattvagun. And obviously you get the best result when it's in sattvagun. What are the symptoms of doing devotional service in tamagun? What are the symptoms? One symptom says the devotee is angry. You know, sometimes devotees are angry. They're doing service, but they're angry. Why am I doing this? Why do I have to do this? Smash the pots and smash this and smash that. Like that. There's tamagun. Now, sometimes like that. That's not good. It means you're making only a little bit of advancement. Right? And it also says, in tamagun, you are a separatist. Right? You do service, but you can't cooperate with other people. Right? That's tamagun. I can do service, but not with you. I'll do it with you, maybe, but not with you. You know, that's tamagun. Right? Then rajagun, you're doing the service, but it's very much about the recognition you're getting for the service. Is everyone seeing that I did that service? I collected so much money for the temple. I distributed so many books. I am the incarnation of book distribution. Prabhupada actually called one devotee the incarnation of book distribution. Which devotee was that? Tripurari. Now Tripurari Swami. And Prabhupada said, incarnation of book distribution. Imagine if Prabhupada said that about you. Right? That would be very... Then, you know, I know if he said that about me, I'd be walking around like that. I'm incarnation of book distribution. Jaya book distribution pad, Jaya book distribution pad. Incarnation book distribution. So, this is rajagun. Right? You do the service, but I am the best, I am the best. And also, it says in rajagun, also, you're a separatist, same as tamagun. I'm better than everyone else, so yeah, that's okay. You can do service with me. Yeah, maybe you can carry my books. Just like back in the 90s, when I was distributing books, there were some devotees, Harinama Mananda Prabhu and Navina Nirvana, Rohini Sutta Prabhu, but Navina Nirada Prabhu, they were the biggest on the planet. And then actually one Russian devotee came, and I can't remember his name, but one year he distributed even more than them. And this was on the street, you know. They go out on the street, and then I think Harinamananda had the record, on the street, like 996 books in one day on the street. Hard books, like, you know, hardback. 996 one day on the street. It's like inconceivable. You know, like I think the best I ever did was like 130, 150, something like that on the street. You know, one day, you know, in one marathon, they did 130, 150. And I thought, oh, that's amazing. You know, 996. Sometimes you do full sets. You see, like, you know, sometimes photos, people like walking away on the street with like a full set. Like, you know. Or even two friends, they've got a full set each. And they're like walking away, like, you know, what just happened? So, you know, just got like a full set of books. So, he was distributing so many books at one point, Harinamananda Prabhu, One devotee, his service was just to get the books for him during the marathon. He'd just run to the van, bring more books. Because he was distributing so many books, it was like they needed another devotee just to bring the books to him. So he'd run to the van, bring the books, give them to me, just distribute, and then another one is like that. No. But then you can become proud. You might become proud, because when you Krishna gives you some shakti, and Krishna shakti vina, and when he gives you some shakti, sometimes you become proud. Oh, I give such good classes. I lead such good kirtans. I cook the best feasts. I make the most beautiful garlands. I dress the deities the best. I am the acharya. Sometimes you think like that. That's rajagun, service in rajagun. And you become separate from others. Oh, maybe you can come and do some service for me. You can assist me. So that's rajagun. That's why sattvagun is the best for doing devotional service. Because then you get realizations about Krishna. You begin to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You realize his form. You realize nama, rupa, guna, lila, all these things become manifest. Devotional service needs to be practiced in the mode of goodness. That's how you progress in devotional service. If you're too much in tamaguna, rajaguna, your progress is there, but it's not going to be complete. Only in sattvaguna. And then sattvaguna leads to vishuddha sattva. Prabhupada explains, like a springboard. Right? You practice in sattvaguna, that will lead you to vishuddha sattva, pure goodness. And then when you're in pure goodness, you can see Krishna face to face. This happens at the platform of bhava, actually, bhava bhakti. Rupa Goswami speaks about this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. In the first 19 chapters, the eastern division, eastern side of the ocean, then there are three categories he gives. Sadhana Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti goes from chapter 1 to chapter 16, right, where he speaks about Sadhana Bhakti. Three types of bhaktis. Sadhana Bhakti. In chapter 15 and 16, he speaks about Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Right, this is a type of sadhana, Raganuga. This is what we are cultivating in ISKCON, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Right, Vaidhi is in the first 14 chapters, and then he says, now there is an extra element you need to add. Actually, that is there from the first day you move into the temple. Raganuga Sadhana. In ISKCON, we practice Raganuga Sadhana, right? To some degree. It's like a mixture of Vaidhi and Raganuga from the very beginning. Just like the first day you move into the temple, you chant, even the Govashtika prayer, right? Shiradika Madhava Yora Para Nikunji Yuno, right? This is actually Raganuga Bhakti. You meant it. The Guru is Nikunji Yuno Ratikali Sijai, right? He is serving the Radha and Krishna inside the groves of Vrindavan. This is Raganuga Bhakti. This meditation. You know, if you're actually meditating on what you're saying, half the time Mangalati, we're just trying to stay awake. There's like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Someone throws some water on your face, you're like, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But if you're actually meditating on what we're saying, right, it's all Rag Anuga Bhakti, and particularly the Tulsi prayers. Right. Oh, Tulsi, beloved of Krishna, I bow down before you again and again. My desire is to obtain the service of Shishi Radha and Krishna. Whoever takes shelter of you has his wishes fulfilled. Bestowing your mercy on him, you make him a resident of Vrindavan. My desire is you also grant me a residence in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dab. Thus, within my vision, I will always behold the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That's Raganuga Bhakti. Yeah. Is that what you meditate on while you're chanting the Tulsi prayers? You should be, because that's what you're saying. You know, maybe for the first 5 years, you don't even know what you're saying. First 5 years, you're just like, you know, playing the kaptals and, you know. And concentrating on your voice. Oh, I sing so nicely. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Yeah, sometimes the whole Mangalati, just listening to your voice. Oh, it sounds so nice. The other devotees must be enjoying it. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. No, it's like, you know. But then if you actually begin to think, meditate on what you're actually saying. You're actually asking for service in the residence of in the groves of Vrindavan. That's Raghunuga Bhakti. So it's there from the first day you move in the temple. But how much you become a Raghunuga Bhakta, that's up to you. Right? How does Raghunuga Bhakti develop? How does it develop? Do you know? We should know because we need to know. You want to become a Raghunuga Bhakti, right? What does Rag Anuga mean? Rag means, Anuga means to follow those who have Rag. Who has Rag? The Rag Atmika devotees. Who are the Rag Atmika devotees? The residents of Vrindavan. You want to go to Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Yeah, devotees like, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll go to Vrindavan, yeah. No problem. Yeah, Vrindavan, wherever. Vrindavan, Chennai, Delhi, yeah, like that. Yeah, wherever like this. Singapore. Like that. No, if you want to go to Vrindavan, then you have to develop this rag. Rag means like attachment to get to Vrindavan. Rag Anuga. So where does that come from? That comes from association with the Bhagavat. Two types of Bhagavat. The person. So there are devotees in our movement who have this mood. They strongly want to go to Vrindavan. So you find those devotees, you associate with them. And the other Bhagavat is 10th canto of Bhagavata, Krishna book. You read all the pastimes and then you begin, oh, I also want to go to Vrindavan. I want to serve them. Because then Rupa Goswami gives three verses, what Raghunuga Bhakti is. And he says to meditate on life in Vrindavan. So the more you hear about it, then the more you meditate on it. Oh, that's it. While you're chanting a japa, I just want to go to Vrindavan and do some seva. Or while you're doing aarti for the deities, I want to go into the spiritual world and do this aarti. I want to offer flowers to them. Become the servant of my guru, and they will offer flowers to the deities, to Radha Krishna. That's Raghunuga Bhakti. So that only comes when you practice devotional service in the mode of goodness. Mode of passion, mode of ignorance will not take you there. So it is a stepping stone. Prabhupada says you have to go from ignorance to passion to goodness, right? And then to pure goodness, and then you can go back into the spiritual world. So those first 16 chapters, they're about sadhana bhakti. And then chapter 17 and 18 discusses bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti means when you begin to understand your relationship with Krishna. And chapter 19 is prema bhakti. Just like after the 10 offenses, we say. And the goal is Krishna prema. And everyone says, Krishna prema. But do you actually meditate on what it is that you're... Krishna prema is the goal. But do you even understand what Krishna prema is? We just say, Krishna prema. And then we just chant our rounds. Just do it. No, but you have to meditate on Krishna prema, what that is. Cultivating that mood. Cultivating love for Krishna in your seva. You do service out of love for Krishna. And then that will cultivate Krishna prema. And then one day you will see Krishna face to face. It is possible. So we'll stop there. Any questions or comments about the earth being flat in this universe? Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any questions or comments? There's so many people here. So. Anyone online, do you have a question or comment? Hare Krishna. So. Oh, someone is ringing. With a... Anyone have? Okay, everyone is good. No problem. Everyone accepts that the earth is round. You'll accept that. Yeah, it's good. So there's no questions. Yeah, if you accept like that, then. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki. Please come again. Hare Krishna.